Hey, somebody keep an eye on, somebody keep out an eye for Mike all 6 weeks, okay? Make sure he still comes to church when we're done with this. How many of you know we live in the digital generation? We live in the information age where media devices are literally taking over everything. And today we're beginning a brand new sermon series called Unplugged, and I'm counting all of my friends that I have here today. And then a few weeks from now, we'll count again and see how many of you are still my friends. Now, I've heard a lot of parents say, "Pastor, I'm really excited about this series." I've also heard some parents say, "But my kids are not so excited." So I want to encourage you to open your heart, open your spirit, be here as much as possible for these next few weeks, because I believe that this is one of the most important things that we can talk about because it's such a big part of our lives. Somebody say amen. Now, there are all kinds of media devices. Matter of fact, there are more media devices now than ever before. We have laptops, we have iPads, we have Xbox, we have the Wii, we have the PS3, we have the Kindle Fire, we have the tablet, we have the iPad, all right? We have video game systems, we have iPod Touch, all kinds of things. We have, you name it, Blu-ray players and all those different types of things. Video game consoles. Movies. We now have smart TVs, okay? That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Smart TV? Okay, that was free, all right? But now, what do all of these things have in common? Well, there's a lot of good feedback there. They're all connected to the World Wide Web. Now, before we get into this too much, let's go ahead and confess. How many of you own at least one of these media devices, all right? Okay, I'm looking for the rest of you who didn't raise your hand because you obviously chosen not to participate in this service, all right? Raise your hand if you have a media device on your person, in your house, you own. Okay, that's pretty much 100% of us. It's a big deal. Now, never have we had more access to the internet and with each other through texting and the cloud. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, email, LinkedIn, there's Netflix, we've got Skype and Hulu, iTunes and podcast, there's Spotify, there's Vimeo, there's FaceTime, there's Pinterest. Did I leave any out? There's a lot of things that connect us to one another, and our lives, probably more than ever, and especially in our children's lives, are becoming more and more affected and influenced by media. How many would agree with that? Let me share with you some statistics about this. 99% of Americans consume media every single day. More than 2 billion access the internet every single day. Which, by the way, do you know what country is the number one user of the internet? It's Asia, right? Because there's more of them than there are. I don't know if you knew that, okay. Teenagers and children spend an average of more than 7 hours a day using media. Children and adolescents spend more time with media than they do in any other activity except for sleeping. I'm going slow. Are you getting this? Recent research by the Pew Internet and American Life Project reveals that 93% of teenagers aged 12 to 17 are online. 75% of teenagers now own a cell phone. 25% of them use them for social media. 54% use them for texting. Not during church, of course. Just checking, all right. And 24% of them for instant messaging. So get this, a large part of this generation's social and emotional development is occurring while they're online. Are you getting this? It is shaping this generation. It's shaping our culture. People spend, get this, 700 billion minutes on Facebook or social media every month. 700 billion. 500,000 people join Twitter daily. By the way, I'm at WayneMurray777 if you want to follow me. Free plug, all right. There is a growing amount of research suggesting that media can have a negative impact on families, on health, and different things. But watch this. Researchers show that teenagers and adults think that the media influence everyone except themselves or their children. Isn't that amazing? It's just like in church. Oh, this is for so-and-so. This message that Pastor Horry's preaching, you should hear that because you could really get a lot about that. And that's the thing about us in media. We think, well, you know, it's not really affecting my family. It's not really affecting my kids. Or is it? The internet is increasingly becoming a virtual babysitter for parents when they download applications specifically with the intentions of keeping their kids calm. A survey conducted by Lipsis has found that half of the interviewed parents believe children ages 8 to 13 are old enough to carry their own smartphone. Half of the parents that were interviewed said 8 to 13-year-olds are old enough to carry their own smartphone. And what that means is we have an increasing number of younger and younger generation who are connecting online. Now, some of you are saying, okay, time out, Pastor Wayne. You're talking about media as if it's a bad thing. Well, let me stop right there and just say media necessarily is not necessarily a bad thing. Media is just a form of communication. Matter of fact, the definition of the word of media is a means of communication. And how many know communication can be good or it can be bad, right? I use media a lot. Look around. We're using media to preach this sermon. Okay, on the screens, we've got the screens, we've got all kinds of sound effects and things like that. And so we use media in our church, we use media for worship, we use media to communicate. It's a good thing and it's a helpful thing. I teach pastors, when I go around and teach some classes in Florida, Texas, and here in Indiana, hey, pastors, guess what? You need to speak the language of the culture, which is media. That's the language our this generation speaks is media. So I'm constantly admonishing pastors, use the language of the culture to preach the greatest message of all time. So we understand that media can be one of the more powerful tools in the world for good, right? Think about the fact that we can connect with people all over the world in just a moment's notice. We can learn how to do just about anything. I've become a fan of the how-to stuff on YouTube. I needed to fix the wiper arm on my van. I was just like, how to fix a wiper arm? Boom, there it is. Now the deal is, I also tried to fix my toilet with that, and I looked so easy with that lady doing it in 90 seconds. And I played it again and again and again. And after the third time, I called Mark Cox. He's a plumber here in our church. So helping other people. All of the tornadoes in Oklahoma City recently, how much did we use media to learn about that, to help people, donations and things of that nature? I have an app on my phone called the 714 app. It's a prayer app. It notifies when there are issues around the world for prayer, how people are praying, pretty cool stuff. So the media can be a helpful tool. And so, but since media is a big part of our culture, how many know we need to talk about it? Well, that was a weak amen. I've got some teenagers looking at me with sheepish eyes. I'm just not sure yet, Pastor. Because the Bible is our thinking in every area of our life, right? So our relationship with God affects every area of our life, and every area of our life affects our relationship with God, right? And so because of that, we need to talk about this because it's becoming a dominant part of our culture. So we need to understand it through Scripture. And so that's why we're having this series today. Our message title is The Rise of the Machines. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is not here to help us. Next week, I want you to be back here because we're going to have a sermon called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And we're going to talk about how do you determine what's good and what's bad and what's ugly when it comes to media content. And then 2 weeks from today, I've invited my friend John Muncy to talk about music. It's called The Voice, and you're going to want to be here for that. After that is a message called The Disney Effect. The number one provider of media content for kids is Disney, okay? And so we're going to talk about the Disney Effect. Pastor Jeff's going to help us. And then we're going to talk about a message called It's in the Game.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Did you know that 97% of children and teenagers play video games? Okay? We need to talk about this, right? And then we're going to end up with a message called The Social Network, because using social media is the most dominant activity of all teenagers and kids. Okay? It is affecting our lives. Somebody say amen. And so I want to encourage you to be here as much as possible. Invite some people to be part of this because this is going to be very, very practical. I promise you, I'm going to make a commitment to you. This is not a condemning series. This is a series where we're going to look at the scripture and we're just going to ask a lot of questions. And we're going to encourage you to pray and seek the Lord about this effect in our lives so that we can do this. Now, we're putting together a family media guide with some websites and some information and some tips for how to help you when it comes to being a good steward of media at your house. And we don't have it ready for you today, but we'll have it ready for you next week. So let's ask the question. How does the growing influence of media, how is it affecting us? There's a lot of research that is out there these days and a lot more research that's coming because the digital generation is fairly new.
Yes.
We're still learning its effect on us. The iPad is only a few years old.
That's right.
But yet we think it's been part of our culture forever, and yet we are now having 2 and 3 year olds getting iPads for Christmas.
That's true.
It's reality. Okay, and so we don't yet know how that's affecting them. So some of the research, some of the statistics are still developing. But here's what some people are finding, how it affects us relationally. Did you know that 20% of divorces, according to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, wouldn't that be a great support group to attend? All right? Hi, my name, never mind. But according to those guys, 20% of divorces involve Facebook. How's it affecting us? Well, how about relationally? Psychologist Eric Sigmund warned of the perils of passive parenting and benign neglect caused by parents' reliance on gadgets to occupy their children. So it's affecting us relationally. How's it affecting us physically? Heavy media exposure has, again, the science is new, but there are some suggestions that it's affecting it, it may cause hypertension, a prevalence of asthma, sleep disorders, mood disorders, psychological distress, and you see all that list there on the screen, insomnia, okay? Some of you don't need a scientist to tell you that's happening with you in media. There's a case study that shows a relationship between the energy that a cell phone emits and possible causes of cancer. Again, there's no definitive study just as of yet, but we do know that it's beginning to drastically affect our ability to concentrate, our ability to pay attention, our ability to even think clearly. Dr. Matthew Gardner, an ophthalmologist in Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary in Boston, says he's seeing a growing number of patients with what is called computer vision syndrome. And computer vision syndrome causes a burning and irritations in the eyes. Some of you thought, oh, I'm just tired. Well, actually, there's a disorder now. Okay? There's this another disorder that they've come up with called constant accessibility. Now, don't raise your hand, but some of you have that, right? I have that disorder of being constantly accessible. Now, watch this. It's where people are always reaching for their cell phone intentionally and unintentionally, and are more likely to experience sleep disturbance, stress, and depression. Now watch this. There's a study out of UCLA that says if you surf the internet for 5 hours per week, it will begin to rewire your brain. Wow. How's it affecting us mentally? Some of you say, Pastor, I'm already mental. Well, here we go. American writer Nicholas Carr asserts that the internet use reduces deep thinking that leads to true creativity. The emotional effect, he says it's beginning to hurt long-term memory. Some technology users, they are saying, are now showing symptoms of addiction. There's a new phenomenon that's taking place where people are actually becoming addicted to media. Addicted to the internet, addicted to all things media. Now, it's pretty funny. They did a research of I think it was 2,000 college students, and they asked them to voluntarily, they didn't make them do this, to give up all media for 24 hours and to write down, observe, and document the effects of not having that. And this is so good. I wasn't going to share this. I didn't have time. But here's some of the responses. I felt as though I was being tortured. I hope I never again have such a day in my life. The only thing going through my mind was, and here's in parentheses, these are his words, not mine, voice of psychopath, I want Facebook, I want Twitter, I want YouTube. Okay. Another person said, I was anxious, irritable, and felt insecure. And listen to this. This is a little bit over the top. This is what he said. Unplugging my Ethernet cable felt like I was unplugging my life support system. Do you want to know some of the symptoms of internet addiction or media addiction? One of them is phantom phone vibrations. It happens to you. We already have a confession up here on the front row, right? You have a phantom phone vibration. You reach for the phone that's not there. Fidgeting and restlessness. We have a candidate right here, all right? It's a good thing you're in the front row because you'll be the first for the altar call. That's good. So it's affecting us. How about, is it affecting us emotionally? Is media affecting us emotionally? Researchers have begun to propose a new phenomenon called Facebook depression, which really applies to all social networking as well. It's a depression that develops when preteens and teens predominantly spend a great deal of time on social media sites and then begin to exhibit classic symptoms of depression. Scientists at Ohio State University Medical Center found that hamsters, and how many know everything that a hamster does is, there we go. They found that hamsters that were exposed to dim light, as in computer screens or TV screens, in just a matter of weeks showed changes that mirror symptoms of depression in humans. And so they're saying that so media are too much media. Let's be clear about this, not all media. Having too much media intake in our lives can begin to affect us in the area of aggression, our sexual behavior, eating disorders, and, gulp real hard on this one, academic difficulties. So it's affecting us. A Stanford University study found that girls as young as 8 who spend a lot of time multitasking on digital devices tend to have lower self-confidence and social skills. Now, researchers tell us, and they've been telling us this for a while, that all of these effects take on a greater significance if the presence of the device is in your bedroom, especially for kids and teenagers. If there's a television or a computer device in a teenager or a kid's bedroom, viewing increases to up to one to two hours per day. There's a risk of being overweight increasing by 31%. The likelihood of smoking doubles. When a television or computer device is in the bedroom, parents are less able to monitor viewing habits. Children participate in fewer activities such as reading and hobbies, and sleep is disturbed. Now here's the problem. By 2005, researchers tell us that 2/3 of American teenagers had a television or a media device in their bedroom. So we need to think about this, right? The average attention span at present is 5 minutes long. So let me invite you back into this message. Come back, all right? Because it's been a little bit longer than 5 minutes, okay? The average attention span now is 5 minutes. 10 years ago, it was 12 minutes. So it's affecting us. How many know it's affecting us? But okay, mentally, relationally, physically, emotionally, okay. But this is a church service, Pastor. When are we going to get to the spiritual part? Well, can I go ahead and just tell you, these are all the spiritual part.
That's right.
Everything affects everything, okay? We can't just compartmentalize our lives and say, well, that's that and this is church. No, remember, it applies to everything. But before we get into that part, let me throw in just a few Pastor Wayne observations, okay? This is not from Scripture. These are my thoughts, okay? Which are very subjective, but I think I'm right. Our addiction and dependence on media, I think we should be careful because it makes us susceptible to at least 3 things. The first thing is it makes us more susceptible to deception. Remember, it was 1938, so most of us don't remember. There was a radio broadcast called The War of the Worlds. Remember that Orson Welles directed this. It was based on a book by H.G. Wells. The first two-thirds of the 60-minute drama was presented like a news bulletin format, and it was about an actual alien attack that was taking place on the Earth. And because the first 40 minutes, there were no commercials, there were a lot of people who thought this was actually taking place. And so the next day and the days after, there were a lot of people who were very upset and described the people who created this as cruelly deceptive. Now, I point that out to you to say that if that little exercise has the ability to deceive so many, how much more these days? With our addiction and our connection to all things media, how easy is wrong information disseminated? How easily are we deceived? And the Bible says, get this, the Bible says in the last days, many will be deceived. So we have to be careful to understand that we don't allow these things to help deceive us. As I think another thing that our heavy addiction, our heavy dependence on media makes us susceptible to is terrorism. A lot of terrorism plots these days are aimed at our power grid. You say, why is that? Because the purpose of terror is to create fear, to create panic. And if there's any indication that there is some agitation going on when you take away our media, I mean, look at the research. After two decades of relative peace, security experts caution that internet warfare is all but imminent. Cyber warfare could affect the nation's core security, cause mass casualties, and weaken the economy, according to the Government Accountability Office. Assailants, quote, could gain control of critical switches, derail passenger trains, or trains loaded with lethal chemicals. They could contaminate the water supply in major cities, according to then U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta. He says, foes could take down electrical water systems, fomenting public panic, reaping high death tolls, and causing high physical and economic chaos. The reality is, the more connected we are to this stuff, the more it affects us emotionally and causes fear and panic in our own lives. Here's the third thing I think that our heavy dependence on media is creating, is that we are creating a more likelihood that we're going to be exposed to pornography. Pornography has been the most dominant use of the internet since its creation. Only recently has it been surpassed by social networking. 12% of internet sites are pornographic in nature. Think about this. Years ago, a person had to go to access pornography, had to go to a store, ask for something wrapped in a brown paper wrapper from behind the counter, or go in a back room somewhere to get that material, and all of that is now just a couple clicks away. And even more than anybody ever dreamed was available. Did you realize that 25% of all search engine requests are pornographic in nature? 35% of all computer downloads are pornographic. 35% of all internet users report an unwanted exposure to pornography. Now, what does that have to do with us? Do you understand that every one of these devices that we just talked about, if it has access to the World Wide Web, has access to the worst of the worst, okay? Including Kindle Fires and game consoles. Game consoles have access to the World Wide Web. And most of the game consoles, by the way, are not affected by internet filters. Do you know even PSPs and Nintendo DSs, they have internet access, okay? So we got to understand, smartphones and iPads and iPad minis and tablets and all these things, when you hand them to your child, what are you handing them? You are handing, some of you think, well, it's a toy, or it's this or that. I understand that. I get that. But you are also handing them something that can destroy their life forever. We have to be careful. The average age that a child is exposed to pornography is now 11 years old. It's getting younger and younger. A recent survey, get this, a recent survey estimated that 90% of children between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed internet pornography. 90% of kids 8 to 16 have viewed pornography on the internet. That's your kids. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you, we haven't talked about this as much as we need to. But this is one of the major reasons we're talking about this. Because we are setting our kids up for failure. If we allow the tentacles of this deadly thing to get a hold of them, both boys and girls, at a very young age, to destroy their lives. We've got to be careful. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why is the age going down? It's because we're obsessed with giving our kids all things media as soon as possible. And we've got to be careful. Now, it sounds like we probably should consider, at least consider, the idea of going unplugged. And that's exactly what one dude did for an entire year. I found an article on CNN about a guy named Paul Miller who went a year without the internet. Here's what he did. He says, we're using the internet wrong. He says, smartphones turn people into horrible listeners, and cat videos aren't as riveting as we think they are. These are just some of the revelations writer Paul Miller had during a year of self-imposed exile from the internet. He came back online May 1st of 2013 after giving up the internet for a year and documenting his experiences for the tech site The Verge. Okay? Now, here are some of his observations. He says, during the year, the most frustrating thing was people who couldn't quite get out of their phone or get out of their laptop. I'm looking around to see whose people's faces are in their phones or in their laptop. Go ahead and put them down. It's okay. And in their opinion, they're listening, he says. But I know they're not really listening because I've experienced what full-on true interaction is, and it's different than someone glancing back and forth at their phone or glancing back and forth at their email. He goes, and that became very frustrating to me. He says, instead of using the internet as a utility to make your life richer and be less interrupted, it's interrupting your life to make the internet richer with all the stuff from your life. That's profound. We think it's helping us and we're actually helping them. He says, it was good to learn to be present with people and not having so much noise in my head. After the year was over and he reconnected to the internet, he said this, the internet was real overstimulation. And for the first few days, I had a hard time adjusting to it. He says, during the year, I read books I would have never read and wrote some stuff I would have never written. I was able to accomplish a lot of things that I had been putting off. And here's the last thing. This is where I want to hone in on. He says, I had a lot more free time. Had a lot more free time. Because we have this stock answer about our lives, this perspective of ourselves, that we're busy. Busy, 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 busy. Always got stuff going on. Really, we're not busy. We're distracted by stuff. Now, here's where we finally come to a verse in the Bible. Okay, thank God for that. All right, here we go. Psalm chapter 1 is the theme chapter, really, for this entire series. We're going to come to it every single week. I hope by the end of these few weeks, you'll have Psalm 1 memorized. But let's read it together. The scripture says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. We'll talk about what that means next week in depth. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Watch this. According to this verse, the psalmist paints this picture of a tree planted by the river. Now, we know that when you plant a tree, the first thing you got to do is water that puppy. Okay? I have several trees in my yard that will testify to the effect of watering or non-watering. I'll let you guess which one it testifies to, okay? But the more you water it, the better it's going to be. So if it's planted by streams of living water, that tree is going to be strong. It's going to grow. It's going to have deep roots, okay? So God says that's what happens to people who meditate on the book of the law, the Bible, day and night. But then he paints the picture of the opposite person. He calls them the wicked, but really it's the people who neglect the Word of God, who neglect the Scripture, who neglect meditating on the Scripture. He says they're like chaff that the wind just blows away. I've got a picture on the screen of what chaff is. When somebody harvests wheat, when they do it manually, they will take it and they will throw it up in the air and let the wind blow away the chaff, the dust, the real small particles that aren't valuable. They just kind of blow away. God says, watch this, that if we neglect the Word of God, if we neglect our relationship with God, if we neglect the book of the law and don't meditate on it day and night, we will be like the chaff instead of like the tree. Are you with me? Now, what does this mean for us? Follow me here. We're almost done and we're going to pray. Paul says, in the last days, there will be terrible times, difficult days. We know that the closer and closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more persecution believers are going to face. Amen. Many of them are facing it right now. The more challenges we're going to have to deal with. And guess what? If we are over-connected to media, to the neglect of our relationship with God, what does that do? Are we going to be the tree? Or are we going to be the chaff? We're raising a generation to be the chaff. They will be easily deceived. They will be easily swayed. And they will be easily lost. This is why this is a big deal. Well, Pastor, I use the media all the time to help me in my Scripture. Absolutely. I didn't say it was bad. Make sure you're using it for the right reasons. Okay? I'm talking about the fact, do not tell me you're too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. You are not too busy. You're distracted. You got noise in your head. But God wants to talk to you. God's got some good stuff He'd like to share with you. God's got some strength He'd like to pour into you. The Holy Spirit has power He'd like to put into your spirit. But you're so busy and so distracted, you can't do it. So I'm going to ask you three questions. Like I said, I'm not going to make dogmatic statements here over these next few weeks. I think you can handle this, okay? Can you handle this?
Can you handle the truth?
Yes, you can handle it. Here's the three questions. What limits do you have for the amount of media in your life or your household? Do you have any limits? Because I'm growing concerned that some people have no limits. You know, I'll save it for later. You need to at least have a conversation. You know, what are the limits of media at my house? Number two, what standards do you have for media consumption? Do you have any standards at all of what's good and what's bad and what's ugly? We'll talk about that next week. So you need to have that question at your house. What are the standards that we're going to have? And then the third one is there an open door to the enemy in your life? And that door is some sort of media connection. The reality is some of us need to examine our lives and say, you know what? I'm allowing the enemy to have free reign in my life because of this open door to you name it. And the reality for some, you just need to shut the door. Are you getting this? So those are the three questions we're going to ask every single week. And I hope you're asking yourself. Now this leads us to the what I call the unplugged challenge. Are you ready? It wouldn't be a great sermon series if I didn't challenge you to do something. All righty? The unplugged challenge. I'd like to go ahead and ask you to commit to it before I tell you what it is. I have never had so many teenagers pay attention in a sermon I've ever in my life. They're like, what is it, Pastor? Okay. I would like you to consider unplugging from all things media. No television, or music, social networking, you name it. Smartphones, computers, laptops. Now, I know some of you have work. You know, that's part of your work. I'm not talking about that. Do that as part of work. But any sort of leisure activity, and you're going to come up with 1,000 reasons why it's not a leisure activity. That's why we can't say, do this, okay? Unplug for 7 days.
Thank you.
Now, I know some of you are thinking, couldn't we do a 21-day food fast instead? I'd rather go without food, Pastor Wayne, than do that. This is not going to be, I'm not going to be the media police, and I'm not even going to set a certain day or week that this is going to happen, because our human nature, we tend to police one another. It's like when we do the food fest, you're eating popcorn. Popcorn's a vegetable. No, popcorn's not a vegetable. So that is not the purpose of this challenge. Now, Pastor Jeff said it right here. I cannot tell you the number of people at the door said, do we have to do it 7 days in a row? I'm telling you, a bunch of people asked me, is it 7 days? I mean, they were very concerned. 7 days in a row. That will get you the maximum impact. Now, let me tell you a cool story. A few months back, I was having a consultation with the company that we hired to do audio, visual, and lighting for our new sanctuary. Here's a news flash. Our new sanctuary is going to have a lot of media capability. Because we speak the language of the culture. By the way, aren't you excited to see all the progress that's happening out front for our new sanctuary? Isn't that awesome? So we're sitting with these guys, and we're talking about our new sanctuary and all this kind of stuff. And I threw out this idea of this sermon series that we've been working on. And I've been working on this for months and months and months. And he said, let me tell you an interesting story, Pastor. I mean, this is a guy who works for a multimedia company. He says, at my house, we have what we call analog night. And we have a card on our refrigerator where anybody can pull the card, and they have, I think he said he had six kids, or he and his wife, anybody could pull the card and say, tonight is analog night. Now, analog night to them is you cut the electricity. Wow. No lights, no TV, no cell phones, nothing. They read by candlelight, they sit around and talk and play games and sing. Oh. At all. He said, now I'll be honest with you, very rarely do my kids pull the card. He goes, most of the time it's me or my wife pulling the card. He goes, but you know what? When we do, they don't fight us. Because they've grown to love the deeper connection that takes place when we cut off all the outside noise. There are some very nervous teenagers in this room right now. I want to invite our pastors, our small group leaders, our elders and their spouses to come, and we're going to close today's service with prayer. This is not really the type of message that tends to lead to a specific altar call, but I do want to take time to pray today. I want to challenge you to come back and make it a priority to be part of this series. You know a lot of people that need to be part of it. Invite them to come. We're going to have a lot of fun, and it's going to be great. But today, I want to invite you to come if you have a need in your life that you need to pray about. Perhaps there's a sickness that you need prayer for. Perhaps there's a big decision looming, a relationship that's coming, or a job situation, or whatever it is. And so today, we're going to close today's service by simply praying for one another. That's what the Bible says, to pray for one another. The Bible says to bring all of your burdens and all of your cares and cast them on Jesus, because He cares for us. Amen? So why don't you stand if you would, and if you're here, you have a need in your life, I want you to come and find one of these leaders, and we're going to pray. If you need a relationship with God, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you want to talk to one of these leaders about it, they'll pray with you. Lead them to the Lord. By the way, here's a testimony of how media can be a good thing. Right before the service, somebody was texting, and they said, I walked into the sanctuary, and somebody said, Pastor Wayne's preaching about that. You better put that away. And he said, you know what I was just doing? I was just leading a family member to Jesus. It's awesome, isn't it? So it's good. If you need to find Jesus today, you can find Jesus. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. We're going to worship a little bit, and this will be the last thing I say. We're not going to have a formal dismissal. If you need to leave, do so quietly here today. But let's pray. Let's worship. Let's seek the Lord. If you have a need, go ahead and come, and let's pray together. God bless you. Mandarin.